It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the Power Trip After Party Podcast on iHeartRadio.
It's the Power Trip After Party Podcast. It is the 1st of March, Fat Tuesday. Hi, everybody. We got Moss, and then we got the regular old trio of fun.
Of fun? Do you call every Tuesday Fat Tuesday?
Yeah.
Sweet intro.
I call every...
What a dick.
What a dick.
Oh, come on.
What an asshole.
You made a fucking line about me yesterday.
I know.
I got
like about a week of
that. Oh, that's too far. You insensitive fox. That's funny.
His line was more clever, though. Yours was just
that
mean.
That was funny. I call it Fat Tuesday, too. I'm fat, too.
I think you look svelte. I think you guys both look really good.
Thanks.
Really, really, really good.
I like your long sleeve polo shirt too.
Thank you.
That's a long sleeve polo, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thanks for noticing.
Wow.
Why are you staring at me, Sauce?
Well, I'm glad we're doing the After Party Podcast again. Everybody seems to be really excited about this.
Jazzed up, and today is the Ozark spoiler filled podcast because we now have all officially seen the beginning, the first half of season 4, with the second half of season 4 coming at the end of April.
So don't listen to the rest of this if you don't want to know about Ozark.
Right, because that's all we're going to talk about right now.
Spoiler-filled. Spoiler-free.
Right, spoiler-filled.
It's going to be nothing but spoilers. And Mus and I were just talking off the air, and we have forgotten most of what
same.
We watched.
Same.
I blew through that so fast.
I watched it all opening weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I'm like, wait, okay, once we start saying stuff, I'll remember stuff.
Yeah, right. I flew right through it,
well,
too.
Well, I have just finished it, so I can help you guys and lead you in certain directions. First of all, so many twists and turns with the Mexican drug cartel and who's going to be in charge and who's not going to be in charge. Were you guys surprised that the nephew made it through the season?
Yes, yeah. And Javi is one scary son of a bitch.
He is.
Yeah,
he
I is. I thought he would die in like the 4th or 5th episode. I thought he would be one to go quickly.
Can you guys remind me, has he been on the show in any previous season?
Mm-mm.
How weird that they bring a major character out of nowhere and we immediately just accept that. You know what I mean?
That's the only way they could actually follow through with that, because when you have the main guy leaving, he wants to get out, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And he wants to move back to the States and have his family be safe
Raise
and everything
kids,
like that.
Yeah, right.
So they had to have somebody in that spot, and it was brilliant how they brought in somebody that's even more terrifying.
Yeah.
But don't you think from whether it's Breaking Bad or even The Americans, right? Shows like this where the walls are closing in on the people.
Yeah.
I feel like they always want to remind you that no one ever truly gets out, right? There's always a whole bunch of collateral damage, or you die, right? Or you got to go Better Call Saul on it, and you got to start your life over with a different identity and just disappear. I feel like that's exactly what they tried to show you with, what's the main guy's name? Not Javi, but is the main bad guy. We should have probably looked some of this shit up before we...
What the hell is that guy's name?
They always say it's just his last name.
What the hell is his name? Navarro is obviously the last name.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I can't remember his first name.
Omar.
Omar Navarro.
Navarro, he wants to get out, and clearly they couldn't make it that easy, right? It had to be a whole bunch of shit was going to hit the fan, and now, of course, he's in huge trouble. It's not that easy. You can't run a Mexican drug cartel.
Right.
And kill as many people as he did, be as diabolical as he was, and just go, by the way, I just like a free pass and I want out.
Yeah. When they, like, that scene where they met at the old mall. This show is great because, as you just said, Corey, when the walls close in, there's been multiple times where I have thought at least Wendy or Bateman's character would be killed, and they haven't yet. So the way that this is going to ramp up in the last couple of episodes of this season is just going to be incredible. The last scene that Hockey keeps talking about is fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah.
How it's basically almost everyone has been picked off except for a select group of people. And as you just said, they're not going to just walk away from this. It's going to be incredible how this ends.
Well, yeah. Like you said, with the Javi character, how surprising that he hadn't been killed off.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ruthie, how she's able to, and right. seemingly in a way, be able to kind of freely go about her business, whatever decision she decides to make. Like, everybody else has to, like, hide out, and they're, like, terrified of looking over their shoulder and, possibly being killed. And it seems like for Ruthie, she's just like, well, I'm going to do this now. And she just tells people what she's going to do, and she just gets to do it.
How would you guys feel if the only surviving main character is Ruthie? If the birds all go down and Ruthie's the one that finds a way to get out of this?
Well, it's an interesting question, whatever your name is, because...
Omar Navarro.
Thank you. We all remember the very first scene of this season. There's a van crash, right. And all four of them are in the van, all four of the bird family. So obviously that hasn't been realized yet. We don't know how that's going to be. I think I would feel okay if Ruthie's the only one that makes it out, because she's my favorite character on the show. But I think that's going to be way too easy for this show. I don't know that that'll happen. She seems to be a terminal character. Zach, you're shaking your head. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, there's going to be... seven more episodes of this, right? That's a lot to fill with, you know, us being... Because you keep thinking you're at the end. I mean, right now, you theoretically could have, without the Wyatt deal and everything, you could have ended it right around there. But now we're going to extend it. We're going to find out, obviously, about the van crash and everything. Is that post dealing with Ruth? Because they're going to have to deal with her somehow, some way. And there's going to be, I think, a big question as to how the birds and how Ruth, and then, I mean, it's just there's so much.
Well, the Kansas City mob is somehow going to find its way back into this, especially with the guy that got his dick shot off.
Yeah.
They put it back together.
Yeah, they seem like
Frankensteined it.
Way too forgiving, by the way, he was.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely.
He should want Darlene dead immediately.
Shot
he
shouldn't off my have been dick. So excited. He should have killed my dad.
Yeah. In that order. Right. I would be mad in that order.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But I'll tell you, his character did see God when he got his dick blown off, though. You know what I mean? Like, for whatever that means. Yeah. He's a completely different character now since he has no dick. And maybe it's because he doesn't have testosterone anymore. I'm not joking. Maybe it is.
Yeah, I think he's going to play a big role in the last seven episodes. He just does. He's going to, you know, because of his dad being dead, he's going to come back. And now that Darlene's dead, he's going to be the one that's probably going to take over that whole bit.
But look, they've spent now four seasons showing you that graphic as the show starts, right, to foreshadow things that are going to happen in the episode. The van is that for the final season, right? The van crash is the foreshadowing. It's you have to look ahead to all of the episodes and go, how is this going to play out? And to your point, Chris, if all four of them die, let's just say they do. Let's say they all are dead in this van crash, right? Maybe that is the thesis statement of the final season, is that you don't just get to walk away from this. Maybe they thought they did. Maybe it's, all right, Javi's dead. Maybe even Ruth's dead. Like, all of the path behind them is behind them, and they got out of the mess. There's no one to answer to. There's no FBI. There's no Navarro cartel. They think they get away, and then boom, like karma, finger quotes, karma hits them. They die in a fucking car wreck, right? I wouldn't feel super great about that ending. I think I'd be a little pissed. I think that feels a little cheap, but it still kind of fits the idea that you don't just get to walk away.
Wouldn't you be more pissed off, though, if they did the whole spinoff kind of thing, a series where the kids actually do get away?
That
they
would be
do
dumb.
Not die.
This, yeah, that
they
would be
go and they start
this
their
is
own.
Like Breaking Bad. This has is
the
to end.
Yeah, this and the Americans, all these, again, when the walls are closing in.
Right.
I think Vince Gilligan even said it about Breaking Bad, that five seasons is about the longest you can string it out before people go, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
You have to have, I would argue, you could have cut Ozark off a couple of times saying they're so far deep in this hole, they either have to die or get out.
Right.
So I think we're at that point now. I think this is going to be the perfect number of episodes. I kind of want to see, without spoiling Breaking Bad or The Americans or other shows, I'd like to see at least a couple of the birds die. I think this can't be a show where all four of them walk away.
How
I think
do you
that's
feel
kind
about
of bullshit.
The FBI arc in this whole thing? Because at times I'm like, okay, is the FBI really just going to be taking the money from the cartel and like kind of teaming up with a Mexican cartel?
Good question.
I mean,
no,
they've done a decent job of it, like kind of explaining it, but still, it's just like that can't be a possible thing. But
I wonder if it is.
Suspend disbelief, I guess.
But what if it's more real than we know? Maybe that's the point. Maybe that shit goes on all the time, and we just have no idea.
I don't know. My least favorite character on the show is one of my new favorite drops on the show. I haven't used enough. Jason Bateman's character says, I really hate that guy.
The investigator?
The private investigator. Who the hell is that guy? Because he's not a private investigator. There's something else going on there.
Oh, yeah, the guy that keeps showing up to the house.
I think he may have been banging, what's-her-face, the woman, the old attorney.
Is he the estranged husband?
I don't know. Maybe he is.
Yeah, maybe he's maybe he's the estranged husband.
Helen?
Yeah, from Helen.
That's
husband.
What I'm thinking about Helen. Yeah, I don't like the character, but that's a good character. You know, you're not supposed to like all those characters, but don't like him. I tell you a story arc that I'm fascinated as to why they're doing it. And Corey, you alluded to it a moment ago. I hope they're not doing it for this reason, and I don't think they are. But how much the daughter has become her mom and the son has become her dad. Mm-hmm. They are exactly like their dad and exactly like their mom. And I guarantee you the actress who's playing the daughter is doing that on purpose. She even talks and moves and acts, makes faces like her mom does. I think.
Well, he even pointed it out to her when she was being mean to him, she told him to fuck off or something like that, right? Yeah. And he goes, "See, you're becoming mom."
Yeah, yeah. And what about that? Maybe being foreshadowing that at some point, dad or mom's going to have to take up arms against each other. I don't know. I think it's crazy, but I talked about my least favorite character on the show being that new PI. Wendy Bird has become unlikable as hell.
Yeah, Wendy Bird sucks. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's so frustrating, too, watching how the way that the dynamic is with the son and how you just want him to be like, hey, you got to, like, talk to him and, like, try to reason with him, even though there really is no reasoning with any of this. But, like, he could and he did a lot of damage. I mean, he could have done a lot worse in terms of getting them caught, getting them in trouble. Thankfully he decides to go, and I love how Marty was sort of proud that his kid started laundering money at such a young age. That was a really kind of a little sense of humor there, but I don't know. I think watching the kid and him trying to control him and then just being unsuccessful as all hell was really fascinating.
By the way, I promise I'm not going to turn this into an Americans podcast, but to your point, Chris, I forget if it was Klosterman or Bill Simmons or I don't remember who wrote about this, but they were talking about if you go all the way back to Carmela Soprano, that the wife character in these kinds of shows with the anti-heroes are almost always the characters you hate the most because they are trying to stop their husband from doing the thing that we like to watch them do, right?
Right,
like,
right.
We want Tony to do his shit, like go to the strip clubs and kill people. Or like, we want Walter White to sell meth. Like, get Skyler out of here.
Yeah.
So the Americans comes in and flips it, right? Like, Matt Reese's character was the one's like, we got to get out of this. And Carrie Russell's like, no, we're fucking spies. We're doing this, right? They flipped the roles. She was the alpha. He was the beta.
She's become such a badass.
She's such a badass. Yeah. But I think Ozark followed the Americans' plan where instead of having Wendy be the buzzkill, we're like, no, just let Marty launder the money. You're fucking it up. Because she clearly was at first, right? When she realizes how deep into the hole they are in season one or two, she's like, you're an asshole. How could you do this to our family? And he kept playing, well, you fuck that dude. So, I don't care. You can't tell me what to do because you fucked this family up too.
Yeah, right.
But over the last couple of seasons, she has ascended to the point where you can tell she is all in. She wants the political power. She wants the casino. She wants this. Now she's like just as deep into this as Marty. So it's
and Navarro even alludes to that too. With
right,
Wendy.
You're the star.
Yeah, yeah. And about how the fact that you get out of this, you're going to miss it.
So it's weird that you hate her as much as you do when she is not the standard Carmelo Soprano, like, let's stop Marty Bird from doing this. She is trying to take over and be the
just
the
like
boss.
My wife.
You know, the thing that I dislike about her, I think, is that out of everybody on the show, she does things and says things at times when it's ridiculous that she would or that anybody would. She tells the drug cartel guy no when you shouldn't do that, and everybody right. watching knows you shouldn't say no to him. You know, I think she is perhaps the most not self-righteous, but she's looking out for herself more than anybody else on that show. She is more interested in her own well-being than even than her kids most of the time.
Even
the thing with her brother.
Yeah.
And again, there's another thing about the show that bothers me a little bit is how unwilling, and not with the son, by the way, because the son is a teenager and the son's going to find any reason he can to hate his mom and dad. So I completely get that. But I didn't like Ruthie's character loving Ben as much as she did and not seeing how fucked up he was, because he was obviously fucked up. And we've all loved people who are fucked up. Don't get me wrong. But Ben was an absolute atrocity.
Yeah,
he had to be dealt with one way or another.
Yeah,
and Ruthie got him out of the fucking place.
And getting him involved in what they were doing, knowing that he was the wild card. And then, as you just said, breaking him out makes it even more of a wild card because of how much of a fucking loose cannon he
was. Yeah, right. He had a problem.
Man, could he act?
That guy was great in the car by himself, or is it the cab driver?
With the cab driver,
that's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe you hate Wendy too, and this is kind of what you're alluding to, is her hypocrisy, right? She is the one who's constantly putting the family in a deeper and deeper hole because she's all in on this. But then when Jonah's doing some hacking, she's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she'll yell at Marty for like, how can you let him do this? And Marty is the one that's like, I can't be a hypocrite. We're fucking awful people.
Yeah.
So how can I, when Jonah knows what we are doing, I can't look at him and go, you're being a bad kid. We're worse. We're awful parents. So he at least just dips his head going like, fuck, I fucked this family up so much. And she's the one, you're grounded. You're not leaving with them. And Ruth, don't talk to Jonah. I think that's what drives us nuts about her is Marty has accepted that his kids now are forever fucked because of the choices he's made. Wendy's in denial.
It's like you brought up, Corey. It's like the bit with the Sopranos. Like Tony Soprano, and I'm three seasons in, is one of the worst human beings of all time. But at home, they try and like balance this life of like, well, AJ, you know, Anthony Jr. has to go to college and all these other things. And I'm only three seasons in, but it's exactly what you're saying. In this show, Marty Bird realizes we can't put the fucking toothpaste back in the bottle. These two are fucked because of me. And there's a little bit of Wendy that's like, even though we're doing all these horrific things, we have to have a small resemblance of a family.
And that's why, you know, they keep flashing back to the trampoline and like the yard and everything, you know, back before everything went down. It's interesting how Marty is trying to, you know, harken back to the old days before the shit hit the fan. Speaking of the fan, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of this spoiler-filled Ozark Power Trip After Party podcast right after this.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back.
That was captivating.
Yes. Wasn't that? That was a great break.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
If I may take it in a different direction now. Bring up that cast list again because I want to credit this person. There's no way of... what's her name? Where's she at? Hold on. Not Ruth. Not Jonah, not Jacob.
Darlene.
Lisa Emery. The way she walks, the way she talks, the way she moves her arms when she's talking to somebody, the way she almost swallows her jawline when she's talking to somebody. There's never been a better acting job than her and Ruth Langmore on the show.
Better she's not acting. Maybe she's just like
I'm telling you, I've seen her not because great. I had to go elsewhere to see video of what she looks like when she's not. It's unbelievable. I can't believe the acting job she's doing because she is a despicable looking and acting person.
Yeah.
And she's, I mean, I can't see her not.
Do you have a picture?
There's pictures of her that Zach is pulling up right now. And do yourself a favor. Just, you can't unsee who she is in these pictures of her, but she's not unattractive person. You know what I mean?
But, man, they do her up. She looks like a White Walker. Yeah. I mentioned that before.
She looks like she doesn't sleep.
She looks like she's been sampling her own heroin is what she looks like. What a job of acting. I think that's undervalued by people who love this show, because I don't hear people talking about her very much.
Yeah,
my
she's great.
God, she's great.
And I think what makes these shows and these, like The Americans and Sopranos and Breaking Bad, the casting is so good. Like, they put every effort they had into casting this show perfectly. And this one is casted so well.
A lot of people you've never seen before, and that matters too, right?
Correct.
It's hard to get away with people. Obviously, we know Bateman and Laura Linney and stuff, but most of these people are unknowns until this show, so it's nice to start fresh. But
we are showing pictures now of Lisa Embry, who...
She's really pretty.
Yeah, she can be very pretty.
And, she'll never be in a rom-com, though, after this.
No.
It just should be so weird to see that transformation.
You're so convinced that she's nuts, that she's crazy enough.
Yeah.
And by the way, one scene that I loved. Yeah, look at her right there. One scene that I loved, since we're doing spoilers, is when she did kill the head of the KC mob.
Yeah.
When she just blew him away.
Mm.
Because the one thing that always drives me crazy in shows like this, and in real life even, with what's going on over in the Ukraine and such, it takes one bullet to kill even the baddest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And when you get to a point where you're like, I've fucking had it with you, and you have a gun handy, you're going to kill him. And I do like that about this show, that Darlene just went into the kitchen and blew him away.
Yeah.
Right there, you know? We know what happens to her at the end of the show.
She killed her own fucking husband.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is anybody, though, surprised by the lack of security that she's smart, and I get that, you know, maybe they're trying to sell the fact that she's old-fashioned and that she can take care of herself and all that.
They're in a remote place, too, so you got a little bit.
Right. But, like, the lack of any sort of protection at all that anybody... I mean, she killed the head of the KC mob.
Right.
And then went to the fucking market.
Right.
And, it was
a Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to go after you and maybe want to be more prepared? I get it, but, like... That was weird for me. Like, you know, protect your family, protect your people.
Hey, if we're going around the room, speaking of Darlene, was there a more predictable moment, even though I understand why it's necessary? Almost every one of these shows, you're going to have a character given a choice to get out. And when they choose not to get out, they're guaranteed to die.
Yeah.
And of course, when Wyatt was given the choice to let's just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
We have an out. I got money. We can just leave. Let's start over.
Go anywhere.
We can go anywhere you want. The two of us need to get out of the Langmore history. Let's just run and start over. And when he hesitates, initially agrees, and then gets the guilt trip with Darlene and the baby and can't walk away from Zeke, the second he said, I'm going to marry her, you're like, well, this fucker's dead. Like, that was the most obvious death of all time. But you had to give him that choice, right? You had to give him the option to get out, and he chose no because he's fucking stupid.
I'll tell you what, though. I love love. I really do. And watching somebody have a good smooch after getting married, wow, that's touching.
Yep.
But that was the grossest open-mouth tongue kiss I've ever seen between Darlene
and Wyatt for the first time.
I swear to God, I don't even want to have sex. Oh, well, not that I get a choice to, but
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That must be some good stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That, yeah.
It must be like
she
having
be a
mouth
giver.
Down there. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it must
Lord.
Be so good.
Yeah.
Because Wyatt is in love.
Yeah. Well, Wyatt loves her.
How great was the actual death scene, though? I loved how Javi kills her, and he's like, who the fuck are you? And then before he even answers, just, I don't even
whatever,
care.
Who cares?
Well, who cares what you answer? You're dead,
yeah,
too.
Right, right.
Right.
That was just boom, boom. What a final
what a
scene.
Shocker.
And I know, Hawk, you're just obsessed with Julia Garner's performance when she realizes that Wyatt's dead. But holy fuck.
Like, let's play it now, shall
the
we?
Rampage she's going to be on these final
oh,
seven episodes
God.
Is going to be
oh,
epic.
Yeah,
yeah, let's play that whole scene right now with
I wonder how many takes it took for this one. It couldn't have been too many because she would not have a voice.
But that's what I'm saying. And I believe I saw her on Fallon mention that. I think it is one take. I think she did in one take.
The whole scene?
Yeah.
When she found out.
No, this is fine right here. Yeah. So
this is when she storms the
birds.
Birds home.
It was great.
Where the fuck is he?
You all right?
No, where's the man? When you came last night and said all that fucking
okay,
shit.
Slow down. What are you talking about?
Let me get you some water.
No.
Hey, what is going on?
Wyatt. They killed Wyatt. He's dead. And I know you know who did this. You tell me who he is. You tell me where he is. You tell me his name. Tell me.
We don't know. I'm sorry.
Hey.
You're a fucking liar, and I'm gonna kill you. Ruth? I'm gonna kill you if you don't
No, you are not. Relax.
Listen to me. We don't know anyone who would want to kill Wyatt. Maybe the KC mob?
This wasn't the fucking KC mob, and they killed Darlene, too. You know anybody else who might want to kill her? Huh? You fucking cunt!
Hey, listen to me. I'm sorry. This is happening. You need to calm down.
I'll tell you his name.
No, you will not.
His name is Javi Elizondo. Yeah, I'll tell you everything I know.
Okay, look. That man works for the FBI, and he runs a drug cartel. So even if he is responsible, he's not...
Ruth, do not hurt this man.
Or what, your whole fucking family will be murdered, huh? If you want to stop me, you're gonna have to fucking kill me!
You can stop it there.
Wow.
That's. I don't care what award there is. Give it to her.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so good. I've been yelled at like that in the last 24 hours. But I'm going to tell you.
Will you call the C word?
No. That scene, man. I love her stutters. And I know I've seen people criticize her for her eye movements and stuff that she does. I fucking love it. I love it because she does it every season, every show, every scene. It's part of who Ruthie is, and I love that. And
it's so good.
And that extension of her neck, even the fucking she's an animal.
She's pissed.
It's wonderful.
When you didn't think that she could increase the intensity throughout the season and throughout the episodes, and then all of a sudden just hits that. It's going to be amazing when they have her and Javi. When that meetup is going to happen? Because you know that's got to happen
here.
I
don't think Ruthie makes it through another episode.
I think you're right. I think she dies.
I think she dies right away. Yeah.
To keep making the comparison, she's the Jesse Pinkman of Breaking Bad.
Well said.
She's the one that you would have never guessed in season one you were going to end up caring about more than Walter White.
Right.
Most of us care more about Ruth's survival than the Bird family, right?
Correct, yeah.
Because
she
doesn't have anything to live for.
Right, and she was the one who came from shit, right? So she's kind of always been dealing with garbage.
The
Birds did
lose.
This to themselves. She just was born into it.
I just think about the journey we've had on this show. And you go back to season one and just how the humble beginnings of them arriving, you know, in the Ozarks and the hotel and, you know, meeting Ruth and just...
Mention the strip club.
The strip club.
Thank you.
You know, and the lodge or whatever. And, like, just how far we've come with her to get from that to, you know, helping out Barty here and there at the lodge to now she's screaming bloody murder, quite literally, in their living room. It's... I love shows like this. I love that development. I love how she almost her emotions are like lagging slightly behind what she's saying because she says, you know, you're gonna have to fucking kill, and she doesn't hit the gas fully until like the middle of me.
Right.
And there's just those little things that just are so fascinating from an acting perspective that make you feel. Like it's not acting; that it is real; that it is genuine, and God bless her.
And go ahead.
No, while you're saying this, do me a favor and look up on YouTube when she's on Fallon talking about that scene. I want to play that for you. Go ahead.
So the other thing I love about this too is like some of the newer TV shows are going the route of like all Apple TV shows are one a week. I like that this will be all available and you can watch it over a weekend.
Yeah,
the binge factor.
Yeah, I love the binge factor. Do
you guys think they humanized Navarro too much this season too? Like,
I think he's being unrealistic. Yes, I think he's being unrealistic.
And I also thought they had this nice little balance that every time he was on the show for the first handful of episodes, every time he talked on the phone, it was captivating. Right? It's like, oh fuck, Navarro's calling him. They're screwed.
Right.
This season, he's in every scene. He's having parties. He's like.
They call him directly.
Right. I like the Jaws King Kong theory where you don't know where Navarro is for four episodes, but then when he shows up, you know the shit's going to hit the fan.
That's true.
He was in the whole season.
But
so
that
far.
Just goes to show how much he really wants out of it, though, as well, because they killed his family, right? So, I mean, that was it. That was when he was like, okay, I got to get away from this. I want to protect my family, what's left of it. I got to get
just,
out.
It always just minimizes the mystique, though, of a really good bad guy when you start tearing it down and showing that he's got actual emotion and he's not just a psychopath.
Right.
It would have been more interesting as a complete psycho.
Think of me, Wendy. Right.
Like Javi.
Like Darth Vader isn't in every scene.
Right. Do you guys want to come around here and see this Jimmy Fallon thing when Julia Garner is talking about that in particular scene, which we just played, and we'll play that scene again. Here we go.
But apparently, you scream. In
yes, which can be like any scene in Ozark. I mean, yeah. That's not. But, yeah, well, not, no, not, but I'm this not... is not a typical scream. No.
No, it's not.
I'm mad.
You really are.
I'm very, very angry.
You're really angry.
I'm very angry.
Do we show the video of the scream at least?
If you want to stop me, you're gonna have to kill me. No, I'm kidding.
But you are not that person. This is acting.
That's acting.
It is acting.
I am an actor.
Yes.
I look very angry there.
You are mad.
I'm mad.
The picture, I can't even hold it. It shakes. But
Jason
so I
Bateman.
Said, what? I go, what inspires you for that? And very interesting answer. It's art.
Yes. So I'm very visual, and I get inspired from different things, and I really kind of just wanted the spirit of like a Caravaggio painting and the darkness, and you know I feel like Caravaggio paints intensity and chaos so well.
Of course,
Yeah.
I love their ice cream cakes too.
Yes.
Caravaggio.
Yes. And their gelatos, right?
But that is your dad is
yes, he's
artist.
An art teacher. Yes,
yeah.
An artist.
So you know all about this.
Yeah.
This is one of the paintings that you inspired you for this.
Well,
story.
I like the chaos, and you know she's obviously getting you know defensive. I mean, she has snakes.
Yeah,
she's very mad.
That's one.
And then that's another one.
And this is
but
another,
I, that's it, this is not you know not the faces. I just like the chaos of it. I kind of just wanted my mind to feel kind of claustrophobic, like that.
And so you get into the zone. You look at these.
And but that wasn't really doing. So I got inspired by it, but there was still something missing.
Yeah.
And then I realized. Mike Tyson is also another inspiration for me. And I really got inspired from this photo as well.
That was...
But here's the thing. Mike Tyson, this face could be in a Caravaggio painting. I mean, don't you think so?
Yes,
how
that could be a Caravaggio,
Yes, a character from a Caravaggio painting. So I really got inspired from... You know that spirit.
This was the Holyfield fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was very mad there too.
You think?
Okay, that'll do it. I mean, how about that though? Right? It's way more than you know goes into it. I guess than you would
She's
expect.
She's incredible.
But, yeah, and it's fun to see her as that person after you see her do that scream and with the curly hair and everything like that. But what a fascinating look into what it goes into. And sometimes I think, well, they're just being artsy fartsy. But both those things she pointed out, and you couldn't see them, but you could hear them. It makes sense to me after she says it that that's what she took the inspiration from.
Yeah, that's incredible. What a great breakdown.
What do you predict how this whole thing ends up?
I think that
in the part two, of the seven shows.
I think Ruthie has just realized she has nobody and nothing to live for. There was a moment or two. This is dumb, maybe. Where I thought maybe her and the youngest and the bird's son might have something at some point.
I
think that she went crazy there, and I think that's it. I think she's going to go in guns a-blazing, and I don't think she makes it through another episode. I really don't. The more I think about it, even as we're just talking on this podcast, I'm coming to that conclusion. The car thing, there's a part of me that thinks that's going to be a smaller role in the next part of the season than maybe we think it is. I don't think it's going to end the show. I think that's going to be a part of the next season. It is weird that they were all smiling and seemed happy. So I
think that's it's a bullshit trick if it's a small thing though, because to have that hanging over
that's,
our heads for
the,
six,
that's
seven,
the
eight, nine, ten episodes
line of the song.
Yeah, yeah, that would be pretty tough to have it be small. But if it doesn't have to necessarily end on that. By the way, the only thing that I would argue, I would bet against Ruthie going down like in episode one. Is it's much like when Hank realized who Walter White was. If you have guns a-blazing in episode one, then it all wraps up. Ruthie is such a good character. If there's seven episodes left, you gotta. I don't want to go six episodes without her, right? I would want at least four or five of her scheming to try to figure out how to get to Javi, because it's not like he's right down the street. She's gonna have to figure out who he is, how to get to him. I hope they build that rage and watch. We get to watch her basically go on her Uma Thurman revenge tour and try to figure out how to get him. And whether she ultimately gets him or not is probably. My guess is Javi dies. It's just a matter of how he dies.
Right.
My guess is the crash got him. Is just the beginning of a scene that will end someone's life, as far as it's a crash and then there's a shootout. I think that the crash itself is someone else hitting them, obviously. Well, and
they had to swerve to miss a semi.
Swerve to miss a semi. So right. There was no. That's a question. Was that an intentional?
It, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Or was it just like, you know, Corey was saying, karma? And that's going to be the big question. Why would they put that in there?
Correct.
There's got to be a bigger reason, and I can't wait to find out. I want to know, you know, are they going to hit the ground running for part two, or are they going to kind of treat it like we're, you know, are we going to have another thing where it's going to be a future look, and then we're going to go back to Ruth, or we're going to go maybe, or are they going to flash even further back?
Sure. But again, what's left for the birds, right? We all know Ruthie's now singular mission of trying to take Javi out and get revenge and then just wreak havoc. The birds have like these giant aspirations that Javi's obviously a huge problem because he's going to potentially fuck that whole thing up. They want political power. They want
more
the money.
Casinos,
So they don't truly want to get out. So if in that car scene, they're driving back to Chicago because they're starting their life over and they're out, it's like, what the hell has to happen in seven episodes where they go from, we want to rig elections to, let's just tap out? Like, what the hell's going to happen?
Good question,
In seven episodes, for especially Wendy now, to change her mind on the family's future.
I'm sorry. There's a reason they showed the flashback to when Jason Bateman calls his partner and says, you know what, let's do it. Let's get that big office building.
Yeah.
But maybe we could find something we like better. So, you know what, don't tell her we want the office building. There's something about the fact that he's so wishy-washy that they had to have shown that for a reason. I don't know what it is, but they had to have shown that
for a
reason.
Yeah, it's a great point, yeah.
As if, like, maybe he'll have an opportunity to take the next step, to get out, or at least to, and, you know, don't hesitate, I guess, is the key. And they'll probably hesitate again, and I'm sure they'll get in trouble, as they always do, because there's anything Marty's great at is getting himself in a bit of a pickle.
Oh, yeah. The whole series is just an absolute hand-wrencher. Yeah. You're just constantly like, oh, okay. And even the color scheme that they use for filming it is, it's always just kind of dark. It always has, like, there's not
blue.
Yeah.
Right, it's all blue.
Yep.
It's all, like, half night-ish.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird, too, how, everything that somebody does horribly to somebody, like, for instance, Wendy Bird killing her brother. You can obviously understand why Ruthie's so pissed, but you can also say, well, Ruthie, you killed your dad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it.
And you technically killed the brother by taking him out.
By taking him out, of course. But again, that's that one I hate, but she did that out of love. But how can you criticize somebody for killing their brother when you killed your dad? You know, it's
good point.
There's no good guy. There's no good guy in the show.
Right.
Yeah.
There's not a good guy in the show, except for maybe the FBI agent who went behind her bosses. She would have been fired immediately, I would think, after she did that. But that's another interesting storyline as well. But I wish it was tomorrow. I can't wait to see what happens.
I'm just glad it's not 9 months. I can wait a month and a half.
Yeah.
Not the end of the world.
Correct.
Still, all I wanted to start tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. And then that's, you know, I'd like to know, too, when the writers, obviously, they must have known when they were sat down that they're going to do this too. You know, part season four.
Apparently, they didn't tell Bateman.
Oh, really? I suppose. No,
he thought he had just signed on for that fourth season. He's like, and then they made 14 episodes.
Right.
He's like, so basically, I got screwed out of the fifth season.
Yeah, he cracked a joke about the pay, right?
Funny. Yeah.
I didn't get paid for two seasons. I got, you know, I didn't get to negotiate twice. I just got the same rate for season whatever four.
Maybe you guys already know the answer to this, and will you look this up for me? Did you guys notice who directed the last two episodes?
Yes, I did.
No.
Who was it?
Robin?
Yeah.
Wright.
Oh, Robin Wright.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. Now I have never seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Sure.
Right?
Well, maybe
how
she wants
that?
To make up for the horrible final season of House of Cards.
I didn't know that she was a director.
That wasn't her fault.
Not House
her
of Cards is a perfect show, man.
But that was so good.
Shit. Yep. The first season of House of Cards is incredible.
Like the first five are great. Just, yeah. I mean,
go back up for
the Spacey
second.
Thing screwed everything up because that final season is a mess and a half.
We stopped, stopped watching.
Because I loved that show so much, and Claire Underwood is a great character, but they make so many ridiculously dumb choices in that final episode specifically. But that final season of House of Cards was just, what are they? You could just feel them clinging to nonsense.
Right.
Like they got nothing
that
here.
Bad.
That bad.
Yeah.
Oof,
I stopped watching it.
I stopped watching it too.
Oh, dude, the final season, or the final ep, or not, god damn it, the final scene is the dumbest moment of the entire series. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
You can't believe it.
She only directed the last two episodes.
That's crazy. Yeah,
that's awesome. Incredible.
Yeah. I wonder if she'll direct me in the last. Yeah. I know. How cool is that?
She's great.
If you disagree with us or anything like that, please go ahead and email us or just go to @PowerTripKFAN on the old Twitter. And please, if you have a second, just click follow on this because it doesn't cost you a dime, and that's how we get paid.
What's the final prediction, though? Let's go around the room quickly. Just go Birds and Ruthie musts. Who lives, who dies?
I just have a sneaky suspicion that Ruthie does end up dying. I think that Wendy Bird ends up dying, and I believe that Marty and the kids end up somehow getting out of it.
So you're saying the girls die, everybody else lives. Sauce.
I think Wendy's the last one standing. I think Wendy didn't want to get into it, and now it's such an ego thing, and she's killed family members and maybe more. She kills more family members. I think Wendy is the king of the hill and the last one standing.
Christopher.
I think Ruthie, again, your point makes a lot of sense from a, you know, just common sense that Ruthie, they're not going to want to kill her off early, but that story arc is so aggressive right now, and that last scene that she's in is so aggressive. I can't see her. I could see her dying in a car crash on the way to kill Javi. That's how pissed she is. You know what I mean?
Or just start fucking killing anybody.
Killing anybody, right. So I can, and by the way, the new sheriff ain't putting up with shit. So she may put a bullet in Ruthie's head before she gets where she's going.
Good point.
But I for some reason can see, maybe both kids living through it. I don't think the mom, I don't think Wendy makes it, but I can see Jason Bateman's character in a garden in a backyard by himself, just clipping weeds again and just being himself, living his small little life. He's a wealthy drug dealer guy with all this money, owns a casino. He still drives that old Cutlass. He still drives a 79 Cutlass
like
or whatever the hell it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, correct.
I just think he wants to get back to a simple little life like the main guy in Casino, Robert De Niro's character in Casino. He just wants to go back to being a guy who bets on the horses, you know? I think that's
just
what he'll end up doing. That's what I hope.
Games,
what about you, Zach?
Yeah, I think Marty and the son die.
Really?
I do. I feel like they're trying to, I guess, make the son more, what's the word? More, you feel for him.
You have empathy for
empathy,
him?
Yeah. So I feel like they're setting something up there with the son. I think Wendy's going to have to live with the guilt of the fact that she not only killed her brother, but then, you know, and also, by the way, she meets her dad for the first time in the season. And that tells me that they're setting her up for a much longer. Again, she's going to have to live with the guilt. And then I think one of the questions is, would you rather die and just get it over with, or would you rather live the rest of your life without, you know, your family? And
it's a dude from the Waltons, right?
Yeah. Right.
And he's also terrific in The Americans as well.
Yeah.
So many crossovers. My cop-out answer is, again, I just don't want it to go five for five. If all five of them live, I think it's kind of a cop-out. This is too big of a mess to have everybody get out. So I have no idea who's going to live or die. But if all five survive, it's bullshit.
And also, too, there have been so many shows before this that they have a blueprint for how they can end this properly. Like, there's been so many shows like this where They just kind of, the ending is just kind of like the Sopranos bit.
But again,
what's the really bad serial killer show?
Dexter, yeah.
Dexter, like,
but without naming names, out of some of these anti-hero shows, almost every option has been tried, though, right? Everybody lives, almost everybody dies, or like in Breaking Bad, you get a little bit of both, right? There's
good
no
point.
Right answer.
Yeah, great
it's,
point.
It's all about how you do it, right? If you have all five die, it better be something that we haven't seen before. If you have all five live, you better have a reason that's going to blow our minds why all five of them get out of this, right?
In the end, though, if you have just one surviving, then it also makes for such great conversation.
Right.
Among fans,
that's
because
how I think
you're
it's
like,
going to be Wendy.
Because then you can sit there and go back and forth over, God, why'd they keep her alive?
Right.
Why is he alive? How did this work out?
Well,
yeah, this sucks.
But as we learned on Game of Thrones, it doesn't matter who you put on the throne, it's going to piss everybody the fuck off that wasn't cheering for that person. So it's the same thing with this. If Wendy dies, or if Wendy's the one who survives, it's going to be polarizing because no one's ever going to be happy with an ending where multiple characters go.
And whatever they do, they better not fucking leave it up to us to decide what happens.
Oh, yeah, to figure out.
That's the Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
Yeah. Right.
Fuck that shit.
Oh, the Sopranos ending is spectacular. Show was so good, it didn't bother me at all.
So I'm...
At all.
I'm three seasons in, I think four episodes into the third season. This is one of the best shows.
Yeah, it's
top
10. If not
the best show I've ever seen. It is so fucking
good. It's really,
good.
Really good,
it's
yeah.
so good.
And you didn't get into Game of Thrones yet.
No.
How do you not?
Yeah, I predict that you will eventually.
Did
you ever watch it?
Yeah, we's out too. No, she hasn't watched it, but she doesn't want to watch it.
There's all that banging early on,
so
and then there's
many
like
whorehouses.
Yeah, and
little
then you know exactly when
town.
The power changes where because it's all doggy until boom, she decides, no, I'm on top.
That's what she says,
and it changes the whole freaking storyline. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. Pretty
that's
good.
The greatest show of all time. No big deal.
All right. That'll do it. Thank you, everybody. Please follow us. And thank you, Zacho.
Thank you, Chris. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No. Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.